WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
24 years ago, Hubert Selby Jr. shocked the genteel literary world with the raw language and violent lives of the prostitutes, pimps, hoods, and factory workers that people his book, Last Exit to Brooklyn. Today, Selby's theme of alienation is attracting new readers, punks, the disenfranchised. A German production company is now making the book into a movie, and Grove Press issues a new edition of Last Exit next month. Selby's own life mirrors some of the experiences of the people he writes about. After joining the Merchant Marines as a teenager, Selby almost died of tuberculosis. He lost 10 ribs and a lung. And Last Exit to Brooklyn, which sold 750,000 copies, provided Selby enough money to drink and shoot heroin until he nearly killed himself. Selby never read a novel till he was in his 20s, but inspired by the cadence of Brooklyn street language and the music of Beethoven, he spent 6 years writing Last Exit to Brooklyn in the evenings after his day job.
When I first started writing, I kind of meditated a few days, and it seemed to me that I had to write about something I knew, and it seemed that that's what I knew the best. I knew violence, I knew alienation, loneliness, I knew that sort of thing best, and that just happened, you know.
And you were writing about the fringe life of Brooklyn, of New York, at a time when the fringe was hardly glorified at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think I glorified it. I don't know fringe. I never thought of it in those terms either. People are people, I think. They didn't feel like they were fringe in their world, and, you know, maybe we feel like we're a fringe in their world. But they were an integral part of their world, so I just don't think of them as fringe.
What was it that gave you a sense of worth living for? I mean, you've had a pretty rough
ride. I died
a
lot. I think that's... I don't really know. I'll tell you the truth. I don't know. There's something inherent, I guess, in all of us. There's some ineffable spirit that we either reach to or we don't. And for some reason, the very things that created so much pain in my life, my defiance, my tenacity, my refusal to give up, caused me a lot of pain, but at the same time, they made it possible for me to survive and to prevail.
So you see yourself more on the side of determination rather than of quiet desperation.
Yeah, I don't think there's ever been quiet desperation in my life. A lot of desperation, but unfortunately for the people around me, it hasn't been too quiet. As I say, unfortunately, I've inflicted a lot of pain on people. My family, close, intimate friends, because I just don't know how to stay too silent.
Could you describe a bit of 58th and 2nd in Brooklyn, this area in which Last Exit in Brooklyn was set, and that you were living at the time as you were writing?
No, I wasn't living there. I never lived in that area. Most of my life, I've lived in Bay Ridge, as when I lived with my parents. But I used to hang out down there for a short time, maybe 6 months. It was a kind of desolate area, similar to what it is now. And at that time, the Brooklyn Army base was active. It was just after World War II and the beginning of the Korean War, or just before the Korean War, I think, when I was hanging out down there. And at the same time, it was a family residential area in some parts. And we would just kind of hang out at this all-night diner, and when the sun came up, we went home, and when the sun went down, we came out. You know. And it was just kind of a boring kind of existence. Nothing to do, no place to go, no dreams, you know, no visions, and just kind of making it, you know, one day at a time.
The characters in Last Exit seem to try to relieve that boredom with violence, almost a random violence.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that seems to be a predominant factor in, as far as the human race is concerned. See, I believe that the book is an absolute microcosm, and I don't see any difference in the world of Last Exit than the rest of the world.
Do you think that's why people reacted so much against it and had it banned in Britain and were so repelled by it when it first came
Absolutely.
Out?
Absolutely. I think people spend a lifetime defending against the truth and defending the lies that they choose to believe. See, there's only two human emotions we can experience, love or fear. So we're either coming from one or the other. Now, love, of course, doesn't need to defend against anything. Love only knows unity and the essence of life, and fear must defend itself by attacking. And it doesn't make any difference if it's Vinny beating up a drunken doggy or Jerry Falwell burning books. It's the same thing.
Hmm. You've also written other books, including Requiem for a Dream and The Room. Would you like other people to know you for these books as well? Do you find that you ever get frustrated by being just so closely associated with one book title?
Yeah, I think that's probably an accurate statement. A lot of people ask me, what have you done since then? You know, that kind of thing. In Europe, the people are very familiar with all my work. In this country, it's a different situation.
Why do you think that is?
I'm not certain. I think, for instance, Last Exit was accepted by a lot of people who don't accept the other books because they could feel superior to the people in Last Exit. They didn't feel threatened by Last Exit. But I think some of the other books perhaps do threaten them. For instance, Harry White in The Demon is not from the lower class society. He's not from the streets. He's a very successful corporate executive, and people don't want to see that it's possible that the same thing that exists in Harry White exists in them. And, of course, it's true. There's a child molester and a mass murderer in all of us.
A German production team is now making a movie of Last Exit to Brooklyn. You know, in many ways, in order to make a good movie out of a book, you often have to make a travesty of the book in order to get it to translate to the film. Are you worried about that?
I don't think you have to make a travesty. You have to make changes. For instance, if you put Last Exit on the screen just as is, who could possibly sit through it? I mean, it would be unbearable. So there have to be some changes, but the essence of the book, the darkness and the pain of the book are part of the film, the basic part of the film.
I'd like to read a section, if I could, something that we can say on the radio, and ask you a bit about it. This is from the strike section, and this is the story of Harry, who is working in a union. He feels very proud of his role as being the shop steward, and he's assigned to kind of a nominal task during a strike, and at the same time he also comes to discover that he's a homosexual and wants to leave his life, and then ends up getting beaten up and...
Actually, sort of crucified on an outdoor advertising sign.
I want to find a scene here that I noticed earlier. Now there was something tangible to strike at, and the police, who had been standing, bored for months as the men walked up and down, finally found the outlet they too had been waiting for. And soon the line became absorbed by the mass, and two and three went down to their knees, and then others too, strikers and cops, and a sign swooped through the air and thudded against a head, and a white-gloved hand went up, and then a club thudded, and hands, clubs, signs, rocks, bottles were lifted and thrown, as if governed by a runaway eccentric rod, and the mass spread out. And so on it goes.
It sure does, doesn't it? Sounds great.
That's only part of one sentence, too.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember writing that? Were you writing that in a burst of energy? Did you just sit down and write that in one shot?
Oh, I can't remember specifically about that. That was the last part of the book I wrote, and by that time I had attained a certain facility in writing, and it's quite possible that I did, but most of the time those sentences would come like one word an hour or one word a day. It literally was, you know, struck from stone. I had a very difficult time learning how to do exactly what I felt I had to do. And I know one of the great things, compliments I received from many people is that they all have the impression that I just sat down and wrote this thing the way Kerouac said you should write, you know. I believe it was Yeats that said a poem should sound as if it took 5 minutes to write, and that's one of the things I struggle to do.
Well, Hubert Selby, I want to thank you very much for being a guest here on Fresh Air.
Oh, my pleasure.
Hubert Selby, Jr. is the author of Last Exit to Brooklyn. This is Fresh Air.